The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Matt and I'm once again joined in the studio by Suzanne Williamson. That means it's time for another Nelson Film Society film preview show. Suzanne, thank you for taking the time to join us once again.
I'm really glad to be here, Matt.
It's always good to see you. Now, you weren't here last week. We spoke to Ali about a Russian film.
Yes, indeed. It's our only Russian film this year. It actually won the Palme d'Or, and I can see why. It was an incredible film. All the filming was so beautifully done, and all the angles that they put the camera at, and the black and white gave it a lot of atmosphere, and it was very well received. It was a very, very good film.
Good. It was called The Cranes Are Flying, was it?
When the Cranes Are Flying,
when
yes.
The Cranes Are Flying, okay. So, from a Russian film about the war to...
Well, we're still in kind of a war zone, if you like, but this time we're in Vietnam. And we're at the end of the Vietnam War with the Chinese takeover and the fall of Ho Chi Minh's, well, the fall of Saigon,
right,
which then became Ho Chi Minh City.
Yes.
So we're screening this film on the 15th of July. It's called Boat People. It's by Anne Hoi Yi, and she's from Hong Kong, and the film was made in 1982. The film's name in Cantonese is Tao Ben Nu Hai, which literally translates as into the raging sea, which addresses the perilous sea crossings that the boat people endured. So the name of our film is, for the English audience, is Boat People.
Okay.
It's 110 minutes long, and also it's in Cantonese, Vietnamese, Japanese, with English subtitles. It is a drama, not a documentary.
Okay.
Now, we could describe this film as a political thriller, but foremost, it is a masterful drama about the survival of people and an important historical document of the Vietnamese diaspora. We follow a Japanese photojournalist in post-war Vietnam who discovers the brutal truths of political repression and poverty. And this film tries to depict scenes of this desperation as accurately as possible. The film's central character is Aku Tagawa, played by George Lam. He plays a Japanese photographer invited by the Vietnamese government to document the country's supposed, quote-unquote, post-war success, and to document the country's rebirth. The film is entirely set in Vietnam in 1978. 3 years after the communists took control of the country. Now, Matt, you might be a bit young to remember the Vietnam War. I certainly remember it. And this film is about a photographic documentation of the people and their situation. Now, the photographer is continually under the watchful eye of a woman guide from the Central Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the scene is set. Initially, she escorts him to the new economic zone near Da Nang, where he is shown a group of happy schoolchildren beaming in their crisp white shirts, red scarves, and singing the praises of Ho Chi Minh. However, the rest of the film shows us how this sunny image is just a seductive lie.
Mm.
And already, during Aku Tagawa's first visit, it is clear to him that these idyllic sights have been orchestrated for his and his camera's benefit, even though he still can't grasp the story which is being hidden from him. So because of this, days later, he unofficially comes back to the same village, this time without his camera, and sees the stark truth of how these children, no longer smiling or singing, really live. He witnesses the injustices, petty thefts, deadly explosions, because, of course, the kids are going around in the dumps where there are explosives and they're getting hurt and maimed from these. A family is evicted and loaded onto the back of a police truck. Strong-bodied men, just by random, rounded up in a crowded marketplace and dragged away. These observations tell a radically different story from the one that the Chinese representative wanted him to see in the beginning. Akutagawa becomes a camera. He becomes our, the viewer's, eyes and ears. He soon befriends a plucky 14-year-old, Kam Nuoa, who spends her days scavenging for food to feed her family. He also tries to help a prisoner in the labor camp, and his name is To Min. We are shown the conditions of poverty, enslavement, and the threat of violence and execution, which contributed to thousands of Vietnamese to flee the country. For all this, boat people, isn't all despair. The antics of Kam's younger brothers give us some slight relief in how they do a bit of pickpocketing and little maneuvers and things. So it isn't all doom and gloom or heaviness. There are lighter moments in this film, which is great. And also, this is not a two-dimensional film. It is multi-layered. The camera plays a symbolic role. Now, watch for this, that his camera, the photojet, plays a symbolic role in this film, and I won't say anything more about that.
Yep.
And also, the other layer of this film is the humanity of personal sacrifice. So this comes up in spades in this film. Also, from a political viewpoint, he observes the timing of the release of the boat people and how it puts into context a real-world historical events. So this is really great timing of this film because it was released 7 years after the fall of Saigon, so people already had an understanding of what the boat people meant, 7 years before Tiananmen Square, which was pro-democracy protests and military crackdown in China, and the most important aspect, 15 years prior to the handover of Hong Kong to China from the British. So when it was first released in Hong Kong in 1982, and it became a domestic hit and won 5 prizes in the Hong Kong Film Awards, but for the viewers in Hong Kong, it brought home the concerns of their unknown future because they knew that in 15 years, this was all coming to them.
Wow.
And in relation to the handover, and they also thought of how this weight of change of Chinese rule would perhaps impact upon them as citizens of Hong Kong. The film was also chosen to be screened at Cannes Film Festival in a competition, only to be withdrawn under pressure from the French socialist government as the film was critical of the Vietnamese regime. And it might strain, or so thought the social government in France at the time, strain relations with its former colony. So they said, actually, we don't want it in the competition. We will just avoid this dilemma that we are now faced. But nevertheless, it was screened as it was smuggled into the festival.
Wow.
And from the political and national viewpoint, it certainly ruffled more than a few feathers. Now, so I've talked a little bit about the film, and I just wanted to spend the rest of the time talking about the realities of boat people and what that meant. Because, of course, in New Zealand, we have many boat people that came here and were resettled. In Nelson, especially, we had a group of boat people that arrived here in the 90s to be resettled. And so here's some facts about the whole conflict, if you like. After the fall of Saigon, the city was renamed Ho Chi Minh City. Many families who were considered enemies of the new regime had their land, businesses, and money seized. They were literally thrown out into the streets. They come in, out you go, and throw them out into the street. instead of facing persecution and incarceration in one of the severe, quote-unquote, re-education camps, many thousands decided to flee by boat. It is estimated that 800,000 refugees safely arrived in many countries around the world, Canada, America, of course America, but also New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Hong Kong, etc. 800,000 were resettled. But the sad fact of this is that almost the same number, 800,000, didn't make it.
I had a feeling a terrible number like that was coming.
Yeah, they reckon it was about the same number. So that is a huge number of people. And just as an aside, New Zealand resettled approximately 4,500 refugees starting in 1977. As I said, many came to Nelson.
Yeah.
So you have this social upheaval combined with the fear and uncertainty under a new communist government, which in part led to this mass exodus. For most, the decision to emigrate was not one of choice. They risked everything to escape, paying huge sums of money to get each person onto a boat. So they were called, by the West, the boat people, as they fled in crowded, often dangerously unfit vessels to nearby countries and beyond, of course. During these perilous journeys, they suffered storms, ill health, food shortages, of course, piracy, rape, and murder. Lots can be said about these sad and horrific stories, and there are many, many stories, but just to name one aspect of the horrific things that they were shown, one of the stories they came across was boats being victims of Thai pirates. Now, we never really heard about this, but apparently this is in the New Zealand website about this story, and the boats were being victims of Thai pirates. They were responsible for capturing the boats, raping the individuals on board, killing thousands of boat people in the process. So that's just one aspect, but there were other things. Like, I read one story where a man and his seven children were on this boat, and they were in dire situation, and he said to his children and his wife, he said, "Look, if I die by natural causes because I'm starving, please eat my body."
Oh, my God.
So it's pretty grim. And there were many stories like that. I'm not going to go into all the details now. If you want to read more about that, there's lots of information on the internet. But one thing I did find on the internet while I was doing this research, there is a brilliant little 10-minute animated documentary come drama on Vimeo. We'll put a link to it on our Sunday mail out, our Nelson Film Society Sunday mail out. But also, if you want to just look it up, it's on Vimeo, and it's called Boat People. And it's an animation which sums up the tragedy of displacement through the analogy of ants, an ant colony.
Wow.
And it's just, the animation is simple, clear, almost childlike, but the message is not. The message is mature and easily understood from a deep viewpoint just in 10 minutes. So if you're interested in learning more about this phenomenon that happened in the 70s and 80s and 90s, then that's a good little animation to look at. It's just 10 minutes, so you can find it on Vimeo. So that's kind of the movie in a nutshell, and the story of the boat people in a very once-over lightly version. I'm sure if you want to contact some people in Nelson or you know of some people, it'll give you a little bit more insight into the things that they had to face before they came here.
Man, I find this incredibly interesting. So I was born in the 70s at But the whole Vietnam thing was kind of weirdly abstract, and I've known about boat people and stuff, but I've never dug into the history so much. I've probably had some popularized American stories of Vietnam is probably the most common stories I've had. And some of them have been very critical. A lot of them have been, you know, showing heroics of... Anyway, we won't go there. It's so tragic, and yet... Is there hope in this thing? Is it?
I think there is hope. I'm not going to give away what the last scene is, but it's sad. It's drama. It's trying to tell things how they are, but they don't focus on the journey on the boat.
Sure.
It's really focused on the people organizing themselves to escape.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess Vietnam's such a different country now, although I know there's still issues, especially, you know, I know there's unexploded bombs all through that region still and the scars. And I just don't know how people recover from that sort of thing and maintain hope and all those sort of things. I don't know. It's something to me I can't comprehend. Surely the scars run so deep. I can't understand how people aren't passing on the scars to their children.
Well, we don't know what that will happen, but at least in New Zealand, and especially in Nelson, I know some Vietnamese families, and they're surviving. They're happy to be here.
Oh, yeah.
So at least New Zealand has given 4,500 people another chance, a renewal of their life.
Yeah, but that 800,000 compared to maybe 800,000, that's...
It's a big number, yeah.
It really is.
But we see the refugee idea or the refugee situations in the world even today is not a pretty one, and it displaced people is a terrible thing that's happening in our world at this very moment even.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds like a slightly harrowing but very interesting and important movie.
Yes. I think it'll be I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be really interesting to see it, the humanistic aspect of it. And, you know, I just wanted to say lastly that The Boat People remains first and foremost a masterful drama about the survival of people. So there's the hope, if you like, who may be possessing even less control on their lives than they originally thought. And its tragic sense of fatalism is haunting. There's no doubt about that. But it is first and foremost a human story set in a tragic moment in history. And the film speaks to an earnest and honest attempt to humanize people who were displaced by an imperialistic war.
This is where the Nelson Film Society, part of the New Zealand Film Society, shine through with bringing stories like this to the big screen. I really don't know what else to say. It sounds...
Come along and have a look.
Yeah. I've been watching the stills going past as I do. And I got to say, amazing. It looks very real. It looks like it could be a documentary.
Exactly. That's why I originally said, it's not a documentary. Yeah. It is a drama.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, The Boat People. Screening this coming Wednesday evening, which is...
The 15th of July at State Cinema, Cinema One, at 6 p.m.
Okay. Anything you want to add? I always seem to, say, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this one up?
No, I think I've said it all, and I'm looking forward to Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely. Look, thank you for coming in, Suzanne, talking about Boat People, screening as the next feature for the Nelson Film Society. Always good to catch up with you and do a bit of a preview on these movies.
Yep.
If you want to find out more, nzfilmsociety.org, click onto the Nelson schedule and you'll be able to check out the trailer of the movie there.
And I'll see you next week, Matt.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you'll be back with us next week. Fantastic.
A Japanese documentary.
Oh, there you go. Brilliant. Okay, thank you so much, Suzanne. We'll talk to you the same time next week.
Great, Matt. Nice to see you.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.